Good morning. Welcome to our Lord's Day service, and we hope that the service is a blessing to you. We're so delighted to welcome back Betty Lewis. Betty is an active violinist and violist in the Chicago area. In the summer, you will find her in Door County serving on the faculty of Birch Creek Music Performance Center and performing with the Peninsula Music Festival. Today, we have a special treat. She will be playing the viola and the violin, but not at the same time. We're so grateful to welcome back Cindy Steele. Cindy has been a blessing in a time of great upheaval, especially here in our church, and we're so grateful for her gifts of music and her loveliness that she graces us with every time she's here. For our announcements, Thanksgiving meals will be made and distributed from First Baptist Church of Sister Bay. If you'd like to receive a meal, you must reserve by calling First Baptist. They also need to mobilize volunteers for food prep, distribution, and contactless deliveries. If you can help in any way, please email our church or call us, and we'll put you in contact with the organizers of the event. This past week, Colin did a great performance of Bach and Sansons and a few other great artists. And if you missed that performance, there's an encore performance on Wednesday. These are live performances, and we have space in our 1 and 2 p.m. time slots. So please let us know if you would like to come to the encore performance. Today is Communion Sunday. All are invited to the Lord's table. You may bring anything you wish to the Lord's table at home, and we will bless it and make it holy. Let us turn our hearts to worship the Lord.
Our call to worship is taken from the book of Psalms, chapter 70, verse 4. May all who seek you rejoice and be glad in you. May those who love your salvation say evermore, God is great. Please join us in singing Joyful, Joyful, We Adore Thee.
Oh,
come to that time of our worship where we bring our praise reports and our prayer concerns. We want to pray for our nation this morning. We also want to pray for our community. You know, in our church, we have people on every part of the political divide. Some people were in joy this morning, and some people were in despair. But I want you to know that we are all in the same family. And whichever way you voted, nobody judges the other. We have to come together. And I remember seeing this quote that I thought was so marvelous from Reinhold Niebuhr, and I believe it's appropriate for this morning. Nothing that is worth doing can be achieved in our lifetime. Therefore, we must be saved by hope. Nothing which is true or beautiful or good makes complete sense in any immediate context of history. Therefore, we must be saved by faith. Nothing we do, however virtuous, can be accomplished alone. Therefore, we must be saved by love. No virtuous act is quite as virtuous from the standpoint of our friend or foe as it is from our standpoint. Therefore, we must be saved by the final form of love, which is forgiveness. Let us go to the Lord in prayer. Lord, we are so grateful for your great love and your great forgiveness. And we ask that you would heal our divisions, that you would grant to us your grace and your peace that transcends all understanding. We pray for a restoration of fellowship in this community and beyond. And Lord, we would remember all of those in need. For our brothers and sisters in Central America who have been slammed by Hurricane Eta, we ask for your grace and your mercy. For Kevin awaiting a transplant, for healing mercy. For Marcia and Dave and Joyce battling COVID-19, that your strength and your healing mercy would sustain them. For Rhea and Dean and John, who are dealing with cancer, that they might know that underneath them are the everlasting arms. For Carter recovering from a car accident. For Eleanor with health concerns. For Betty recovering from a fall. Lord, strengthen and heal them. For young Jaden and young Madeline, who are dealing with health issues, may your peace surround they and their family. And for Michael on his final journey, may he be sustained and brought to your presence on angels' wings. We ask all of these mercies in Jesus' name, who taught us to pray, saying, Our Father, who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done, on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our trespasses, as we forgive those who trespass against us. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For thine is the kingdom, the power, and the glory forever and ever. Amen.
Our first scripture lesson is taken from Paul's first letter to the Thessalonians, chapter 4. Now concerning love of the brothers and sisters, you do not need to have anyone write to you, for you yourselves have been taught by God to love one another, and indeed you do love all the brothers and sisters throughout Macedonia. But we urge you, beloved, to do so more and more, to aspire to live quietly, to mind your own affairs, and to work with your hands as we directed you, so that you may behave properly towards outsiders and be dependent on no one. But we do not want you to be uninformed, brothers and sisters, about those who have died, so that you may not grieve as others do who have no hope. For since we believe that Jesus died and rose again, even so, through Jesus, God will bring with him those who have died. For this we declare to you by the word of the Lord, that we who are alive, who are left until the coming of the Lord, will be by no means precede those who have died. For the Lord himself, with a cry of command, with the archangel's call, and with the sound of God's trumpet, will descend from heaven, and the dead in Christ will rise first. Then we who are alive, who are left, will be caught up in the clouds together with them to meet the Lord in the air. And so we will be with the Lord forever. Therefore, encourage one another with these words. Our second lesson is taken from the Gospel according to Matthew chapter 25. Then the kingdom of heaven will be like this. 10 bridesmaids took their lamps and went to meet the bridegroom. 5 of them were foolish, and 5 were wise. When the foolish took their lamps, they took no oil with them, but the wise took flasks of oil with their lamps. As the bridegroom was delayed, all of them became drowsy and slept. But at midnight there was a shout. "Look, here is the bridegroom. Come out to meet him." Then all those bridesmaids got up and trimmed their lamps. The foolish said to the wise, "Give us some of your oil, for our lamps are going out." But the wise replied, "No, there will not be enough for you and for us. You'd better go to the dealers and buy some for yourselves." And while they went to buy it, the bridegroom came, and those who were ready went with him into the wedding banquet, and the door was shut. Later, the other bridesmaids came also, saying, "Lord, Lord, open to us." But he replied, "Truly I tell you, I do not know you. Keep awake, therefore, for you know neither the day nor the hour." This is the word of the Lord. Thanks be to God. Thank you. Our reflection today is written by the Reverend Corey Kemp, and she writes, "My experience with airline travel has taught me many lessons that I've compacted into this simple solution. Plan ahead and follow through. This mainly applies to that crucial time after check-in and before takeoff. I always go straight to my gate and confirm my flight. And then I locate the nearest restroom. Finally, I find coffee, a snack, and sometimes a magazine. Heading back to my gate with my goodies, I settle in for a relaxed nibble and read before boarding. I don't control when the plane will arrive or what time it will take off, but I have done everything I know to be ready when it does. Experience is often the best teacher, providing both immediate and long-term results. Unfortunately, these kinds of lessons don't hold the same power for others who may be going through the same experiences. You need to figure these kind of things out on your own, in your own way and time. Sometimes it's the hard way. Today's gospel lesson may feel a bit harsh on first reading. 10 bridesmaids waiting for the bridegroom to show up, doze off for a bit before he is sighted on the road. Half the young women are up, lamps lit and ready to greet him. The other half are so low on lamp oil, they're asking their sisters for some, but are told no. However, they were also directed back to the dealers to purchase more so they too can greet the bridegroom and attend the wedding. The prepared ladies offered their best solution, the one that they had put in motion before leaving on their journey. It's good advice, but the time runs out. The wedding had started without them, the doors were shut, and no more guests were allowed in. Keeping watch, planning for what you can, and following through on what you know will not control an outcome, but it will prepare you to meet the situation as best you can. You and I don't control God's activity nor any human being's choices. A wise woman who mentored me in my faith once reminded me that we must each work out our own salvation. No one else can tell you how, but it can only offer their own best advice. It is ultimately your decision how you want to meet God at the given time.
Let us pray. Lord, I ask that all my words and the meditations of each of our hearts will be acceptable in your sight, O Christ, our rock and our redeemer. Amen. What do you do when you're waiting to be rescued? What do you do when life is so awful and you're waiting for the page to turn, or you're waiting to get your new job, or you're waiting to move to a new area, or you're just waiting for 2020 to be over? Some of us think that when we turn the calendar page and it says January 1st, 2021, that it's magical and that all of 2020 is going to be a distant memory. That's not true. You can dream on, but that's not what happens. And we all know that. But what do you do when life here and now just feels so awful and you're waiting? You're waiting for something wonderful to happen, or at least something better. What do you do? This is the problem that was facing the Thessalonian Christians. They were waiting for a better day. They were waiting for a perfect day. You see, they had come out of their pagan ways and they were following Jesus. And they were so happy to be followers of Jesus. They loved each other deeply. They had formed a beloved community. But that wasn't enough, because even in that beloved community, they found that outside forces were harming them. there were pagans that lived around them that decided that they should be brought back into the fold. And so they were kind of in a spiritual and religious limbo. They were the outcasts. They were the outliers. Nobody could understand this new faith. And so they held on to a hope that had been preached along with the gospel. They were told that this Jesus, whom they had not met, they were going to meet very soon. And not through death, but God was going to break into their history and form that peaceable kingdom. And his kingdom's reign would have no end. And so they were excited about that. And they held on to that hope. And you know that when you're ready to leave a place, I've moved a few times, and when you're ready to leave, you don't keep setting down roots in the place you're leaving. I didn't renew my library card at my last address when I knew I was coming here. That would have been silly. I didn't make new friendships because I knew I had to sever some old ones and move here. There are so many things when you move, you leave behind. And so they were thinking, well, we're going to be leaving this behind really quickly. So, you know, why take care of our homes? Because they're going to be left behind. Why work? Why earn a living? Because, you know, soon Jesus is going to come, doesn't make any difference. And so the community started to fall apart because they were idle. They got into each other's business because they were waiting for something and thinking it was going to happen soon. And the most distressing thing about this was some of their friends and family started to die, some of natural causes or whatever. And they thought that that meant that they were going to miss out on this promised hope, on this peaceable kingdom. And Paul said to them, no, you don't have to worry about them. Don't you worry, because they'll be first in line. But he didn't leave it there. And that's what I want to talk about today. It's not so much looking at what's going to happen after we shuffle off this mortal coil. But in the meantime, when we're waiting for rescue, when we're waiting for redemption, when we're waiting for that new opportunity, Paul says there are three things we must do. And not one of them is sitting idly by. The first one is that we have to live quietly. Now that means to live in peace with ourselves. And to live quietly means that we have to find those spaces that are quiet. We need to turn off the world sometimes. He doesn't say God's going to impose on you this kind of peace. You have to find it within yourself. Now, I thought living in this idyllic place that it would be easy for me to find peace, especially when summer was over and the bustle of tourists left and it was quiet in Ephraim. I could walk out into scenery and see such beauty around me and center myself. But something traveled with me from those city places. Don't worry, I have it turned off. This is my cell phone, but it's not just a cell phone. I can access information 24/7, and sometimes I think I do. And I stop turning off the world, and I have to look at every single bit of information, especially this week. It can make you crazy. We have to have the discipline of putting a space within our very souls of peace, because that's the only way that the Spirit of Almighty God can speak to us when we have some peace within ourselves, when we have silence. That's a discipline that we need. And so Paul says to his time, have that peace within yourselves. Live quietly. So I challenge us, turn off those devices every now and then and live quietly. Be still and at peace. Then the second thing he says is, mind your own business. Everyone, he says, is to mind your own affairs. But it means mind your own business. Now, that's not talking about not taking care of people. Of course we mind other people's business when they're in trouble and we need to help and we need to mobilize. Of course we're going to mind the affairs of others. But he's talking about gossip. He's talking about giving your opinion when it hasn't been asked for. And so often when I look at social media, everybody's minding everybody else's own business. It's enough for us to take care of ourselves. Let's get out of other people's business, because you know what that leads to? It leads to judging. And none of us are in a position to judge. And the last thing he says is work with your hands. In other words, keep busy with something that is good, something that's wholesome, something that will create a good space or a good product. Work with your hands. Now, for me, I mainly work with my mouth, because that's just how it is. But if I work with my hands, it'd be tragic. But what he's saying is be useful. Do something useful with your life. This is what we need to be about while we're waiting for that rescue, while we're waiting for a peaceable kingdom. Because you see, if you're at peace with yourself, you're going to be at peace with your neighbor, and you're going to bring in that peaceable kingdom. If you're minding your own business and nobody else's business, you're not going to be judging, you're going to be at peace, and you're going to bring in that peaceable kingdom. And if you are working with your hands or your mouth or anything useful, you're going to be creating that beloved community. I long for the day when there is peace in this world. I long for the day when God's peaceable kingdom comes to all. And until we are rescued, until redemption happens, we need to be doing those things that will bring about the peaceable kingdom. Let us pray. Lord, I ask that you would help us this day to be at peace within ourselves, to be at peace with our neighbors, to live a good and useful life so that we may be ready when the trumpet call comes. In Jesus' name, amen.
As to consume. beloved, as to love with all my soul. Make me a channel of your peace. Is in part a thing that we are part of. In giving of ourselves that we
Jesus Christ, on the night he was betrayed, took bread, and when he broke it, he gave it to his disciples and said, "This is my body which is broken for you. Let us partake together," and then pray silently.
Thank you.
this bread and drink this cup, we proclaim the Lord's death until he comes. And now may the Lord bless you and keep you. The Lord make his face shine upon you and be gracious unto you. The Lord lift up his countenance upon you and give to you his peace in the name of Jesus. Amen.
Thank you.